You take a seat. So that was an amazing story which we heard before that song, I think. It really showed an amazing transformation in the paralyzed man's life. And I think because it's quite a well-known Bible story, it's quite a fun one to look at together today. To be able to look at it with this lens of what God wants to teach us about communities and our friendships around us and how we should be with other people. Because I think this Bible story is all about the incredible impact of having faith, being able to step out in friendship, and how that can actually change and transform not just individual lives, not just one person's life, but the life of a whole community. So I thought I'd look at three ways in which we see lives transformed in the story today. So first of all, what was the obvious person who had their life transformed? Was that the, who was it? The paralyzed man, exactly. Because the paralyzed man in their community would have been a nobody. He would have been begging on the street and he would have been completely isolated. Imagine, he wouldn't have been able to walk or go anywhere. And so it really wouldn't have been the sort of life you would want to live. So he was physically isolated. He would have been all alone with no way of getting himself to Jesus. And I've heard it said a few times, I've been looking up, that we are living in an epidemic of loneliness. So I did a bit of research into this. There's a really good site I recommend looking at. It's called A Campaign to End Loneliness. And I got off it some facts which I thought were really interesting. And when we look at the rates of the surveys they did of who feels lonely, during lockdown, obviously, that rate increased. Obviously, because we would have all literally been isolated in our homes. But what is fascinating and a little bit worrying is that it hasn't particularly returned to the pre-pandemic rate, even though we have come back together. So despite the fact we can do more things, people are saying they feel a similar amount of loneliness to what they did before. So I thought that was interesting. And some figures, it said, this is a bit of an old one, in 2022, around half of adults reported feeling lonely, sometimes, often, or always, but 7% of them, in Great Britain this is, experienced chronic loneliness, which means they felt often or always lonely, which is a hard way to live, I think. But I think it's important because there's two different types of loneliness. I think they're going to be helpful for us to understand in this story. So there's loneliness and there's being socially isolated, which is what the man was. He was all by himself. Now, both aren't helpful, but the paralyzed man, it was obvious that he wouldn't have been able to get anywhere. So the only way that he was able to get to Jesus was for other people to reach out. So for those we might know in our community who we know can't get out of their homes or are on their own, it is completely on us to reach out to those people because they are socially isolated. They can't come in. So that's important, but I think what's less obvious than physical isolation is when someone is lonely, but they're more emotionally lonely, so they have lots of people around them. And I've got a picture for the screen. This helped me a little bit. It's a bit blurry, but I thought it was helpful. It shows there's a man on his own in a house, and here's a picture of loneliness. So someone with lots of people around them, and yet they still feel alone. And there's another picture as well. Can I have the next one? Another one I thought was quite helpful. So imagine a crowded place, there's one person, there's lots of people there, but it's almost like they feel like they have walls around them and they feel alone. And I think this is tricky if someone feels lonely like this for other people to be a friend to them, because sometimes I think it's difficult to spot. It's much harder to spot if someone is feeling lonely. And I also think for Christians, because God made us to need each other and to live in community with each other, we could feel quite spiritually isolated as well if we don't have those good, meaningful connections with other Christians around us to support us. And so, interestingly, for the type of loneliness that doesn't mean that someone is stuck on their own, the highest categories of people on the research I did were not the categories I'd expect. So apparently, the people who feel most socially isolated are 16 to 24-year-olds, which is interesting. A female, are single, are living with perhaps a mental health condition, and have lower neighbourhood belonging or lower social trust. I think they sound like the sort of people we want Jesus to reach, those people. So, but of course, in fact, that's the highest category, but literally anybody could be lonely. In our area, I reckon, perhaps, there's people feeling lonely, but because we have lots of things, perhaps pride and shame stop people saying, actually, I feel a bit alone, because we've been taught to be able to be independent and to get on with things by ourselves. And so I think perhaps in this story what's interesting is we saw the friends reach out to the paralyzed man who probably in both ways felt spiritually, emotionally, physically isolated from everyone else. They brought that man to Jesus and we saw him spiritually be made right with God and then his whole body be healed and his whole entire life would have been completely transformed. He could move, he could be with other people. But I think for us, perhaps, the question is, there's those people we need to think about reaching out to, but who is it we think, actually, I need to be a better friend to that person because I don't know how they might be feeling, and perhaps asking God to help us discern and work out who around us might be feeling lonely or like they need some support in their Christian walk today. Because it could even be someone right here in our midst. We don't know. So, the paralyzed man was transformed. The next group of people, the awesome people in the story, were the friends. So well played. It was so funny. I loved watching that drama. But the friends carried the paralyzed man to Jesus, and I think they showed God's intention for really good friendship. I found a quote. I couldn't work out who it was from. It was just in a picture, but I really liked it. It said, "It is when we are most lost that we find our truest friends, that we find out our truest friends." I think that's interesting, isn't it? Who are those people who are there for us, not just in the highs, but in the lows as well? And these friends were the ones who noticed the paralyzed man's isolation and need for Jesus. I recently read a book, and it was called Friendish, and it was an interesting book. It's different from any other books I've read on friendship, but the helpful thing in it is that it pointed out that to be a good friend, often we're told by society that we need to look out for the people who are around us, who help us, who help bring us joy, who make us feel good. But actually, there is a cost to friendship. So this book was saying, how can we be a good friend to others and see how that shifts the relationships around you? Which I think is quite countercultural thinking, how can I be a good friend to others even when it isn't easy and isn't fun for me? So experiencing the joys but also the difficult part of friendship. And the friends in the story did literally whatever it took and carried literally that heavy burden of their friend's condition both physically and spiritually to Jesus. So, I've got a few things I think the passage gives us as tips if we want to be a friend who has a whatever it takes attitude when it comes to friendship. So, the first thing I think it showed was it took quite a lot of hard work and it involves other people, obviously. We have to have an attitude of working together to bring people to faith. So with this story, it says in some translations it was four men which took the man to Jesus. We're not all saved by one person. Often someone will sow a seed of faith and another person will follow it up and we'll have a lot of people impact on someone's journey of faith. So we need to think about how we can intentionally reach out with that bit of work to reach others for Jesus. And the second thing the friends knew was that they knew there was only one person who could really bring true healing and true joy, and that was Jesus. So they knew that they couldn't be selfish, and they didn't change the message to make themselves the hero. They knew that Jesus was the true Savior because he was the only one who could forgive that man from their sins, and he was the only one who could bring healing for the paralyzed man. And I think what's also cool is they didn't give up when it was difficult. They were creative. They went up on the roof. They lowered the men down. They kept going. They were persistent. And they knew that this friend meeting Jesus wouldn't just impact his life in this world. It would impact his life for the whole of eternity. That paralyzed man instead knew Jesus and would be in heaven. And I just thought it was funny, but I just thought, how cool is it that in heaven we're going to meet people like this paralyzed man? Like, he's in heaven because of these friends and we get to chat to him. I thought it was so cool as I read it, but it's amazing the impact friendship can have on someone. So the friends went the extra mile because they were almost like the heroes of the story because they knew that Jesus was the real hero who the paralyzed man needed. Okay, and now the third thing which we saw transformation for, which was actually, there was a lot of people in that house, and yet they were impacted, we heard, at the end of the story. Now, I wonder if you've ever done a puzzle, and you've been doing the puzzle, and then you realise near the end that you are missing a piece. It's a really annoying feeling. Or furniture. You're building furniture, and then you realise you're missing a bit. I know when me and Jacob moved into our flat, we ordered a bed, and we built the bed. It took us a long time, and we realised quite near the end we were missing some quite essential parts, some screws. And there was one particular screw which was an issue, because it slotted together the corner of the kind of slat things at the bottom of the bed to the corner of the bed. So it meant that it just wasn't attached to the bed, so you literally could not sleep on it. So that screw impacted us being able to use the whole bed. And the funny part of that story, which isn't really relevant, is that we called them up to get a new screw, and they're like, oh, you're going to have to send back the whole bed because they come as a whole. So we had to pack up the whole bed to get a whole new bed for a screw. It's just people. but anyway, just like those examples, there was someone who was missing in the community. The friends were aware of that. And like the God who cares for the one over the 99 who were found, they went out to get the paralyzed man. And then when that man was healed in front of all of the people, it said the people there, at first they were skeptical, weren't they? But after a while, it says they were filled with awe and wonder at what had happened. So that one person's healing had an impact on that whole community and their faith. So just like that missing screw, we needed it for the bed, that person was able to impact all the others around them. And in that room, that whole community, there probably would have been some people who were feeling spiritually lost. When Jesus forgave the friend's sins, they were like, who is this man to forgive sins? And yet they were the ones there listening to him. And so it looked like, you know, some, maybe they were there out of curiosity, maybe they were there just to spectate or to judge, who knows. But actually, the friends brought the man for the good reason of coming to Jesus, which is they wanted to see others be saved. Their motive was right. And so in seeing this man be healed, that whole community was impacted. So I wonder, in terms of our own church and our own church community, who do we need to make space for and accommodate so that their faith can grow and that in turn our own faith will be raised as we see people meet with Jesus? Now, just to finish up, there is another reading we're going to put on the screen because I think it ties in so well with today's passage. Could I have the Acts 2 part on the screen? I'm just going to read this to you now because I think what's nice is looking at this story and then looking at another passage and thinking, yes, that's what it means to be church. So, the fellowship of the believers, this is Acts 2, 42 to 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, just like the people in the house were filled with awe and wonder at the man being healed. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Reminds me of the word we mentioned at the start. It uses the same word in that passage, which is interesting as well, meaning with togetherness. And they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So because they were doing these things, meeting together, they were added in number those who were being saved. And they gave what they had. And so this is just a follow-up, really. The last few weeks, we've had our generosity week. And we were looking at that and how perhaps we need to think about what we can give to others. Comparing, as Sophie said last week, being able to compare in the direction of those who have less than us. What can we give to them so that we see other people healed or other people brought to faith? And next week's going to be harvest. So this is just a little heads up next week to bring along food. We're going to donate to BSEM and those people who in our community don't have so much food. So if you'd like to bring food, that would be great. And we're also going to look at pledging how we might give more to church again so we can reach those people who are more lost and lonely in our community. So we're going to have a song in just a moment, but while we have this song, I'm going to give you something to think about, and that is perhaps ask God to show you who it is you can reach out to today, and maybe make a little commitment in your mind. So it might be someone you know who is physically isolated and on their own, and it's easy just to forget about them. But how can you go out and reach out to that person? Or it might be God just shows you someone else who is a friend who you need to be a better friend to and support them well, because we want to be looking after each other as Christians and being there for each other in our own spiritual walks. So, we have this song. You can stand or sit, whatever you find more comfortable, and let's worship together. Do take your seat. Now, when you came in, it's finally your chance to use your piece of paper you were given. So if you don't have a piece of paper, wave your arm and someone in the host team will come, hopefully, and give you a sheet of paper, if there's any left. Is there any? That's it. Oh, thank you, Adrian. Thanks, Jacob. So, for the rest of you, what we're going to do on our sheet of paper is we're going to write in it. Because we are a community here, I thought what would be nice, an idea we had, was that we would write a prayer request for ourselves, and then we're going to make it into a prayer plane, and then we're going to throw it. We're going to pick out someone else's prayer, take it home, and commit to praying for it this week. So you can do it anonymously. Once you've written your prayer, you can write it to you. You don't have to write it to you. you, but write something that you would like prayer for yourself. You can be a bit selfish for a moment, because you're going to throw it, and then we're all going to be selfless, because we're going to pick up someone else's prayer. So we're going to give you a moment to think about that, to write on your piece of paper. Joe's going to play some music in the background, and I'll let you know when we're ready to throw them.